Good morning, everyone, and first and foremost, happy Mother's Day to everyone here who is a mother, grandmother, who perhaps acts as a mother. So happy Mother's Day to you all. We would also like to invite you to remain after service for some cake. We're going to enjoy a little special coffee hour today to celebrate moms, so join us for that afterwards. Also would like to wish a very special mother among us a happy 88th birthday celebrated yesterday by Gail. Happy birthday, Gail. We hope you had a good day yesterday. The sympathies of the congregation go to the family of Wayne McConnell, who passed away on Wednesday, May 10th. Our prayers are with them at this time. A celebration of life will take place on Thursday, May 18th from 1 to 3 at Quinn's Inn. The graveside service will follow at Pleasant Valley Cemetery in Ingleside. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome Bill Brown to the organ today. Bill is not a stranger to our church, having played here in the 1970s. Some of you may remember Bill. He has been with St. Columban's for many years, and his wife has been the organist at Knox St. Paul's for 50 years. We are grateful to have Bill with us today. Thanks, Bill. And I am pleased to introduce Mark Hamilton, who is the Managing Director of the Gracefield Christian Camp and Retreat Center. Mark was born and raised in Shawville, Quebec, and his earliest memories of Sunday school and church are being a young child at Bristol Memorial Presbyterian Church. He comes to Gracefield after 13 years in the Toronto area, 10 of which were spent as a warehouse manager for Canadian Stone Industries, where he oversaw his shipping team, facility maintenance, purchasing, and helped with customer service. Previous to this, he had been employed in golf course maintenance and very involved in pastoral ministry. He has experience as a volunteer coach and worked with students at multiple high schools and at sports camps. And while living in the Vancouver area, he served as the chaplain for the Vancouver Canadiens baseball team. He has also served in congregational ministry in the roles of youth and young adult ministries and musical worship, and as a small group leader at churches in Alberta, British Columbia, and Ontario. He has recently been serving in many areas, including an elder and on the communications team for the church he has been attending in Brampton, Ontario. Mark completed his BA in strategic ministry at Miller College of the Bible in Pambrun, Saskatchewan. He has a long background in camp ministry and has served at numerous camps as a cabin counselor, director, and as a camp speaker and Bible teacher. A very diverse history and range of living locations, so we are certainly glad that you're here with us to lead us in service today, Mark. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. It is wonderful to be here in Cornwall at St. John's. The one thing that I didn't put in my bio is probably the most formative thing is that I grew up on a farm, right? So that informs all of my varied careers, because anybody who knows farming knows jack of all trades and master of none. But I try to master as many as I can. Our call to worship this morning. Almighty God, you created us in your image, each of us in your likeness. Help us to worship you alone, Lord, and never bow down to any created thing. We see your handiwork in every one of your works, but you alone are worthy of our hearts. Accept our worship today, God, because of Jesus, our perfect sight of you. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 78, This is the Day.
We will return.
seated. I was reading this morning in this little book. It's called the Book of Common Prayer, A Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals, and it's the pocket edition. Today is the day of Brother Juniper, who died in 1258. But I found it very interesting, the little biography they put of him. A companion of Francis of Assisi, Brother Juniper is remembered as a fool for Christ. And there are all sorts of wild stories about his antics. He was notorious for constantly giving his possessions away and living with a winsomeness that sometimes got him in trouble. At one point, he was ordered by a superior not to give away his outer garment to beggars anymore. But it wasn't long before someone he met was in need and asked him for some clothing. And he replied, "My superior has told me, under obedience, not to give my clothing anymore. But if you pull it off my back, I will certainly not prevent you from doing it." Francis of Assisi is said to have joked about how he wished for a forest of junipers. I just thought that was cute. Our prayer of confession, let's pray. God of grace and glory, to this worried world, you reveal your presence. In radiant glory, in gentle whispers, on the mountaintops and in the shadowed valleys, in classrooms and in hospital beds, in homes and churches, in the quiet of nature and on busy streets, yours is the presence that pushes past our fear to calm us. Yours is the love that transforms our doubt with reassurance. We come to dwell in your goodness and offer you the praise you deserve. God of mercy and forgiveness, we confess that many things keep us from trusting fully in your love. We are often distracted by our own desires and disappointments. We cling to anger and resentment. We fear for the future rather than seek signs of hope. Forgive us. Shine your love upon us so that your glory may be seen in us. And give us courage to follow Jesus wherever he leads. For we pray in his name. Amen. Psalm 8 says, "O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens, and you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care about them? Yet you made them a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and herds and the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth." St. John records that God is love, that God's perfect love casts out our fear. Friends, we are promised that those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. And we claim God's forgiveness in this good news. God's perfect love abides in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to pass the peace in whatever way you feel comfortable. Maybe you'll wave or a heart or a peace sign, but greet one another with the peace of Jesus Christ this morning. I was going through and cleaning some of the cabinets in my kitchen a few months back, and I found this package of seeds for green beans. And I think they must be defective because I don't have any delicious green beans, and I bought them like 2 years ago, right? The reality is that they're not going to do any good tucked away in a drawer in my kitchen. They have to be planted into the ground. They have to have sunlight. They have to have water in order to grow. And in the same way, we need to be planted in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 7 says, "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him, and then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So as was mentioned, I'm the managing director at Gracefield Christian Camp and Retreat Center. For those of you who don't know, Gracefield is owned and operated by the Presbyterian Church in Canada. There's a couple folks, Janet Galately and Dan Plant, who are local to you and who serve on the camp board. We're very thankful for all the work they do for the camp. Gracefield is a children's camp, but it's not just a children's camp. We celebrate the fact that we have, as of yesterday, 86 children planning to attend this summer. Last year, the total was 94, so we're well ahead of our registration rates from last year, and looking forward to kind of having some exciting numbers. Growing that side of the ministry. Oftentimes, I think in our culture, we'll celebrate people who have come from a distance, right? And it's like somebody who has come from away is celebrated for, you know, the distance they traveled to be with us. When I think about our children's camp last year, restarting after 2 years off from COVID, I celebrate somebody who came from close by. A local father was using the Skidoo Trail, and which passes along what used to be the railway tracks, and saw that there was a camp there, and not just a camp, but an English camp. And they'd been looking in Montreal area for a camp to send their daughter to, to practice her English. And so they came all the way from Blue Sea, which is about a five-minute drive from the camp. She got an opportunity to practice her English, and she got an opportunity to hear about Jesus. And so we celebrate that Ariane was able to come from close by. But as I said, Gracefield has other things other than our children's camp, as important as that is. We have adult and family ministries, tent camping and cabins and lodges and cottages that are rented out on a regular basis. Last summer, we had a family gather in one of our newly renovated spaces right after the funeral of the patriarch of the family. And it was a time for them to gather together as a family, all in one place, but also to just experience the love of Christian community and be in a place where they could mourn the loss of their father, but be together with other Christian people. We also have retreats. I know that there have in history been retreat groups that have come from St. John's to Gracefield, and now, post-COVID, we're seeing a return of retreat groups coming back weekend after weekend. We have quilters. Quilters are my favorite. I'm not particularly generally biased, but there's something about walking into our dining hall and just hearing that hum of a sewing machine and seeing all of the beautiful creations that they made. So we've had a couple quilting groups come, and it's been very enjoyable. All in all, I'm just finishing up my third year at the camp, so it's hard to believe that I'm already on to my fourth summer, especially since two of them were so unique. It's very exciting to see what God is doing at Gracefield, and part of the reason why I've been, this is, I think, the furthest in this direction that I've traveled, but I've been as far in the opposite direction in the Synod as Pembroke a couple weeks ago. And so I've been telling people I'm traveling from Pembroke to Cornwall and many stops in between. And it has been lovely to get around and meet people. And part of the reason for that is just to say thank you because of the people from your midst that have helped with the ministry at Gracefield and because of the support of the Synod of Eastern Ontario and Quebec that is the reason why we are able to function and why we're able to have a ministry. So thank you, St. John's. Our next hymn is number 434, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Second reading is from the New Testament, Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. Then they sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought one. Then he said to them, "Whose head is on this, and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Jesus said to them, "Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us.
So growing up in a small town, it was always hard to just blend in, right? There wasn't much of a crowd, except on Shovel Fair weekend, to be anonymous. I remember one of my good friends growing up, his mother had been one of my aunt's best friends when she was growing up. And whenever I would visit, my friend's mother would tell me how when she would look out and see me walking up their driveway, she would be taken back to her childhood. And she would say she could swear that it was my father walking and said, "You know, you walk just like your father walks." I moved out west to British Columbia, Saskatchewan, then Alberta, then British Columbia, before moving home about a decade later. This is all after high school, and you wouldn't know it now, but I had a time where I had lost my youthful weight. I had grown out my hair. I had beautiful hair that my mother didn't like, beautiful long blonde hair. I thought for sure nobody is going to recognize me in this small town, right? I've been away for a decade. I'm 50 pounds lighter than I was when I left here. And I have this beautiful long blonde hair. I walked into the gas station after, filling up my vehicle did the transaction and everything, and then as I was about to exit, I said two words, "Thank you." And the girl at the cash register stumbled back and said, "You're a Hamilton." So not only do I walk like my father, but apparently I even talk like my father. My voice is recognizable as being the voice of a Hamilton in my small town home. I am a reflection of my earthly father. It's biology. People who grew up with my mother will say you have your mother's eyes, right? Like, there's things that we see in children that reflect their earthly parents. And the same is true with our heavenly father. In the Old Testament reading, there's a few things I want to kind of highlight from that passage. And the first is, right there at the beginning. And then God said, "Let us." In the narrative of the creation story in Genesis, God says, let there be light. And it's more command-based. And then all of a sudden we get to the end when human beings are created, and it's got a sense of, well, there's a plurality. There's a community to this. Let us make God in our image, in our likeness. The introduction of community, and God created them, male and female, he created them. In the New Testament reading, interesting thing that popped out to me is that these people that come to Jesus, you've got the Pharisees and the Herodians. And just at first glance, you would think that they're just kind of two different groups that have similar views. In reality, the only thing that they have in common, other than the fact that they are against Jesus, is that they are Jewish people. The Pharisees are the religious zealots, the religious leaders that are upholding their tradition of Judaism. The Herodians are okay with the Roman occupation. They're coming from opposite political sides of the spectrum. I've used the analogy. This is like Maxime Bernier and Jagmeet Singh coming, and they're coming together. The only thing they agree on is that this person they don't like. It's opposite sides of a political debate. The Pharisees, who wanted to return to the religious rule that we see in the Old Testament, the Herodians, who didn't mind so much the idea of the taxes that they had to pay to the Roman Empire because they liked the roads, they liked the services that they were getting. So they were kind of okay with Herod being around, right? And they came to Jesus, and right away he recognized it as a trap. He recognized that the only reason that the Pharisees would be, the only way the Pharisees would be happy is if he said, don't pay the taxes. The only way the Herodians would be satisfied is if he said, pay the taxes. So what's left for him? And this picture of taking the coin of the time and holding it up to them and saying, whose picture's on it? We're going to have a change in the image on our coins, potentially the inscription coming up. At the time, it was basically the same thing as we have with our coins with Queen Elizabeth on them that will eventually have King Charles. And at the time, it was Caesar. And so Jesus points out on the coin whose image is on that, whose inscription. And I also love the fact that it's basically, the story ends with, and they were amazed at him. That they didn't see it coming. This summer at camp, we're going to be studying, the fruit of the Spirit. And this ties in, eventually, trust me. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So Genesis tells us we are made in God's image. And as I reflected on that, I thought, what does, or how does that impact how I see myself? If I am an image bearer of the Almighty God, how does that impact how I see myself? I think that it changes. As human beings, it's easy to get kind of caught up in what we hear, what the world is telling us, and to look in the mirror and seek to be more like God is a huge challenge but it also is an exciting challenge. And aside from the massiveness of how I see myself as being an image bearer of God and how that might change my behavior, I'm also confronted by the fact that I have to look at others as being image bearers of God. I have to see that just as I am created in God's image, so are each and every one of you. And so even that person, we all have that person, even that person who maybe gets under our skin or we just don't seem to click with, that person is created in God's image. How does it impact how I see myself? How does it impact how I see others? We are created in God's image. I think, too, we are created for God's inscription. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, and Proverbs chapter 7, verse 3, refers to God's law, God's word, and says that we should write his laws deep within your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have hidden. And some translations say, treasured or stored your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And I think that this concept of God's image being stamped on me, stamped on my heart, is a challenge to try and live more like an image bearer of God. Jesus says, give to Caesar. I don't think that this cancels out the idea of tithing or prudent stewardship. All those things are valid biblical principles on their own. But I think that it more so reshapes who I am in present society. I think it's very easy to become, to feel like my image is tied to what I do. I know I went through that when I was a warehouse manager. I was a warehouse manager for a decade, and I became fairly prideful of my skill and my work, and it became kind of part of who I was. And then when company restructured and whatnot, that was taken away, and so I was left in a scenario where I had to reflect on, well, who am I without that job? And the one thing that I stumbled upon then was that whether I have that job or a different job, I'm still an image bearer of God. I'm still that which God created. So reshaping who I am in present society is formational for how I have tried to live my life this last number of years. So Jesus said, give to Caesar, but he also said, give to God what is God's. I remember a story of a group of missionaries in Ecuador, one of whom was Jim Elliott. He was quoted as having said, one of my favorite quotes of all time, I heard it back, well, probably even before Bible school, but his quote was, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And part of the reason why that quote became so famous is because he, along with his fellow missionaries in Ecuador, lost their lives down there. And so that quote really rang out that he is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The challenge to seek to look less like Caesar and more like God. So how do we do that? And that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes. Because it's by bearing the fruit of God that we begin to reflect God more in our communities. That we begin to show His love, to show His joy, His peace, His patience. This fruit of the Spirit that shows the God we serve to the world around us. This is what being made in His image and growing as Christians is all about. And so I am challenged by the concepts that I am made in His image, and I am made for more than what I thought I was. And I pray that we would seek to be people who bear God's image and give that which we cannot keep to Him who made us. We are going to take up the tithes and offerings at this time. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for all of Your blessings. We thank You for the gifts You bestow on us. And we pray that this portion that is being returned to Your service would be used for Your glory in this community. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing together hymn number 375, Fairest Lord Jesus. You may be seated. Let us pray. With all our heart, with all our mind, let us pray. For the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of our souls, for the peace of the world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for unity of all peoples. For our Prime Minister, our Premier, for the leaders of the nations, and all in authority. For Cornwall and all the surrounding areas, for every city and community, for those who live in them, for those who are traveling on land, on water, or in the air, for the aged and the infirmed, for widows and orphans, for the sick and the suffering, for the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, for all who have died in the hope of the resurrection, and for all the departed, for deliverance from all danger, violence, oppression, degradation, for the absolution and remission of our sins and offenses, defend us, deliver us in thy compassion, protect us. O Lord, by thy grace, have mercy. And let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and his church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 699, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Thank you.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen.